I'll be reading today from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up.
Well, I'm very happy to welcome you this morning, especially all of you that are on live stream. As Rick just told you, I've tested positive for COVID. That happened last night, so I'm quarantining for the next 5 days. My wife came up with a great idea. Why don't you just go in early and tape your message and then just show it at all three of the services. So that's what I'm doing. Our topic for today is bouncing back quickly, and I hope I bounce back quickly from this. Life and faith is about a sense of resilience, our ability to respond quickly to difficulties. It's an emotional toughness, and in one way, the secondary definition is that it has to do with elasticity emotionally. And it's true, during all that we've gone through in the last several years, so to speak, our sweatpants have grown larger, and I'm not sure that now that things are not as big as they used to be, including us, that our elasticity has returned, but it is returning. Today I want to talk about how Jesus was able to bounce back quickly when things were challenging, difficulty, even deadly in his life. For us, I think Paul frames that whole idea in our scripture passage this morning from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, thinking about all that he endured, so that you don't become weary and give up. And I think we're all a little weary. I do believe that some have kind of given up. No. Maybe not given up their faith, but they've given up the practices of their faith. They're not returning to worship and participation in the life of the church. I would take that more personally, except I can see that they're not returning to their normal life in other areas of their life as well. What did Jesus do? What about Jesus really helped him to recover quickly from things? And I think there are five things that helped Jesus recover quickly, and he will help us recover quickly as well. Number one, and it should be number one on our list as well, is that was the love of the Father. John 10:17, Jesus says, the Father loves me. And we should never forget that the Father, that the God of the universe, he loves us. He has chosen us. John 15:9-10. Jesus says, the Father has loved me so that I love you. Now remain in my love. I don't know who wouldn't want to remain in the love of God. God's love is great. It's awesome. God's love is first of all, it is a forgiving love. And I think when we're talking about a love relationship with God, up front very quickly is the fact that we need to seek forgiveness from God. Because the more we understand and experience God's love, the more we know that we fall short of His glorious ideal, that we're not perfect. In that moment of awe of God, we realize just how small we are. Yet as small as we are, we're very important to God in this cosmos that God created. And as we realize that we're not worthy to be in relationship with God, through forgiveness, God tells us that the worthiness that you have is because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. And now that makes you worthy. You're worthy to me. You're worthy to other people. God's love is unconditional. There isn't anything that we can't confess to God that He won't forgive us. He loves us unconditionally. Third, He lavishes a great expectancy of love on us. He expects us to come to Him, and He lavishes that extravagant love upon us. How loved we feel when we come into this love relationship with God, because He doesn't just bless us a little bit. He blesses us extravagantly. It is a love that overwhelms us. And what punctuates that reality to us is that this love is eternal. That God not only wants to be in a love relationship with us now, He wants to be in a love relationship with us for all eternity. Now, the best place to start in terms of our understanding about how to bounce back quickly is to realize that the God of the universe, the God that created us, He loves us dearly. He loves us personally, and He loves us deeply. And that reality changes everything in terms of our trust and our hope in the future. A second thing that we learn from Jesus is that He remembered who He was. He always kept His mission out in front of His own agenda in life. There were a lot of times where if it was up to Jesus, He would have taken the easy path. But He chose the more difficult, the more challenging path. And He did that like going to the cross, because that was His mission. That was who Jesus was. That was why He came to this planet. He wasn't born in this world to be pampered in a palace. He was born in this world to live just like you and I do. And yes, He knew the joys and the wonders of the world, but He also understood the sin of the world, the real death that all of us experience in life, the tragedy, the loss. Jesus had this sense of His mission as He walked among us. Here are three great passages kind of strung together that remind us who Jesus really was. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I am the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life." He was God. He was God coming to this planet seeking to save the lost. And to do that, he couldn't get sidelined by everything that was going on around him. Just like Jesus, we need to remember his mission for us in this world. Keeping his agenda first and foremost in our life. And just like Jesus, there are a lot of things that want to distract us. I mean, there's so much information coming our way, it's no wonder we're suffering from anxiety, distress, and depression. And as we take in information and understand what is happening in the world, we understand it best through the lens of what Jesus has called us to do. And I'm like you, the view from the lens of the gospel is very challenging right now. Not everybody wants to know that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life. Not everybody believes the Bible is authoritative. Not everybody. But in the midst of that not everybody, there's always somebody that God is calling, somebody that God will call through our efforts of service or relationship or just the pure reality of the gospel as someone reads it. God doesn't need us to fulfill his will, but he wants us to fulfill his will. And for us to do that well, we have to keep our eyes focused on what God has called us to do. And isn't it interesting that it's similar language to what Jesus' mission was? His mission has become our mission. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Do not hide your light." Yeah, it's easy to hide our light now, isn't it? I share your caution at times to share with others that I'm an evangelical Christian, that I believe in the core values and the lifestyle of what is laid out in the Bible, how I ought to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's not the most popular position, but yet it is the one and only eternal position. So we should not forget that we're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth, and we need to shine and shake. Yes, it's true. We need to look at our methodology and see what fits for a particular person or even a particular moment in history. And if we look backwards in the Christian faith, we see that those that were seeking to carry out God's mission did that in the culture that they lived in, as challenging and as difficult as it was. We need to be responsive. We need to be all in when it comes to the mission of Jesus. Paul put it this way. He said, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Well, what invitations have you received? What calls have you received? And how have you responded to them? Now, perhaps we're all alike in this. We don't like robocalls. We really don't even like to receive calls from maybe a friend of a friend of a friend who wants to sell us some insurance. But if a close friend calls, we want to pick up that phone. If someone famous were to call us, we'd want to pick up that phone. In fact, we'd want to FaceTime with them. Why? They're worthy. God is worthy of our very best effort, and even though we live in a very challenging time in the world needs our best effort. Our best effort. Why? Because they are worthy too. The world is worthy for the opportunity to spend eternity with God. I mean, how did you get into the Christian faith? Oh, I can tell you, I was ushered into God's call through an invitation from another person to be a part of a beach activity with a high school group. Yeah, we need to keep inviting. We need to keep engaging in conversation. And yes, that takes a lot of listening and a lot of discerning, but we need to keep at it. Third, Jesus knew who he wanted to please. It wasn't the Pharisees and the scribes, I can tell you that. It was his Father he wanted to please. I am not trying to do what I want, but only what my Father has sent me to do. He only wanted to do what the Father wants him to do. Why? Because that was his mission. It gets us thinking more and more. He really wanted to please God, and that gets us thinking about, okay, well, what pleases God? How do we please God? And I think we could all make a list of the things that we know are pleasing to God. How we can live out our faith, how we can respond to the variety of needs that there are in our world, how we can be a blessing to others as Christ blesses us. And when it comes down to life in this world, we have to decide, are we going to live out our mission? Are we going to please God, or is our desire to please someone else? Jesus put it this way in Luke, no one can serve two masters. Jesus knew that, and we know in the heart of our hearts that we can't either. That our agenda needs to be God's agenda, and if we're not going to attend to that, oh, what a struggle we find ourselves in. Yeah, Jesus bounced back quickly. We bounce back quickly when we know who we're trying to please. Part of his focus, knowing who he wanted to please, reminded him always of doing what was most meaningful. What added into that calling, that agenda, that mission that he had? Listen to Luke 9:51. As the time drew near for his return to heaven, he moved steadily onward towards Jerusalem with an iron will. Now, why an iron will? Well, that's what it takes to get crucified. That's what it takes when you know that, yes, there's a triumphal entry. But Jesus also knew that everyone would turn on him. It wasn't just Judas, but the disciples. Even a sense of history in that moment was against him. See, Jesus was stealing up his character. An iron will. And we need to develop a more iron will. We need that as we move out in the world. And when I say iron will, I don't mean throwing the Christian faith or the gospel at everyone. I'm saying that as we offer Christ to others, we need to be ready for some rejection, some real rejection. And with all the offerings in this world, it's very easy to get distracted, to get delayed in what it is that God is calling us to do. So we need to concentrate on character development. I've mentioned this several times in this long series of recovery that I've been doing. The only two things you're going to take from this world to the next world are those that you've helped influence towards the kingdom of God and your own personal character. And so we have to work at developing our spiritual character. And we all know that our spiritual character is developed best in challenging times. No, God doesn't want us to stay down when we're knocked down. He wants to get up. He wants us to be resilient. He wants us to be tough. He wants us to have an elasticity about how we go about the world so that we can flex when we need to flex. That's the facts, isn't it? Yeah, that's the facts. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. I have trouble rejoicing. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And here, you're not rejoicing for it, you're rejoicing in it. That's even a challenge, but we get there, don't we? We know that it develops endurance in us, and that endurance develops a strength of character. Is not your character stronger because of the challenges and difficulties, the problems and the tragedies that you've faced as a person? I've never met a person that has said no to that. Virtually everyone that I've been around, they see those problems and trials creating endurance, and that endurance creating an inner strength in them, an inner strength of character. In character strength, our confident hope of salvation. Those trials and difficulties that we've gone through, it strengthened our faith if we've allowed it to. As we've embraced it and dealt with it, as we're emerging out the other side of it, yes, our character is stronger than it was before. We have more endurance spiritually. Christ has passed on to us in sharing his suffering more of a steeled up will, an iron will like he has. The last thing that we see that Jesus did is he gathered a group of people around him. And I know this, if you've had people around you over the last 2.5 years, you've thrived instead of just survived. And I know people that have not had others around them in this time that are finding it very difficult to bounce back and get back. We're told in Mark that Jesus chose 12, designating them as apostles, that they might be with him. I just simply ask you, who's with you? You know, we all need some designated people who are with us. We've never been called to live this life alone. We've been called to live it in community, right? We're a family. We're the body of Christ. And my challenge to you today is if you don't have a designated group around you, you need to get one. You need to talk to Pastor Rick. And you need to get into a small group because that becomes your designated group of people that celebrate with you and mourn with you. Those that you share joy with and those that you share the things that are heavy and difficult on your heart. See, even Jesus didn't do it alone. Oh yeah, he was the only one that went to the cross. But he brought the apostles around him, and after the shock of his death and the stunning realization of his resurrection, they changed the whole world. The whole world for all of history. Which of these five things do you need this morning? The great thing about our wonderful God is he wants to give us all five of those things this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, you're the one that knows whether we need to get closer to your love, to understand that you love us deeply, profoundly, extravagantly, unconditionally, eternally, that there is no sin in our life that you won't forgive. Lord, remind us that you're your children, that you've called us to yourself, that we were created in your image, and now as your disciples, we're here to carry out your will. Lord, remind us of our mission in this vast world, our mission that's as close as across the street and as far as the other side of the world. Lord, help us in our illumination and saltiness as we go out into the world. Lord, you're so great in your focus on pleasing God. Help us to please God more. Help us to do the things that matter like you did. And help us, Lord, in our distraction and our almost debilitation because of all that goes on. We're not strong in knowing where to move in terms of character, but we know by relying upon your Holy Spirit, we'll find your way, so that we can make our way along your path and calling for us. And Lord, we're so thankful that you've given us some people that can walk this walk of life and faith with us. Lord, you're an awesome God. And we're so thankful for your word that teaches us over and over again how to keep our eyes on you as we run this life of faith. Lord, this week, help us to keep our eyes on you. Lord, help us to listen to what you have to say to us. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.